I don't know if I believe in God, but thanks to the history that surrounds me, one thing I am certain of is that I believe in those who throughout the ages and in all places believed in him. And it is that very feeling that often seizes the men and women who enter a church today, whether it is a chapel tucked in the English countryside or the gigantic nave of a Spanish cathedral. Those daring architectures, those exhilarating frescoes, those humble or majestic sculptures, all speak of the same profound belief guiding the hands of builders and artists. It is the belief shared by congregants who found peace and refuge there. Each of these churches is, strictly speaking, a prayer that united all men and all women of all social classes together. And amid so much beauty, we are filled with emotion in thinking about the faithful millions who have come to these places to pray, plead, and make manifest their infinite belief in that which gave their life meaning, the existence of God. Each of these churches is a temple not only to the greatest glory of the Christian God, but also to the memory of the countless men and women who believed, and a beacon to those who continue to live lives enriched by faith. That's from the opening of Sacred Spaces, the awe-inspiring architecture of churches and cathedrals. It's quite a beautiful, gorgeous, and chatty and informative book about cathedrals, churches, and Europe. Of course, it is the photos of these grand expressions of the glory of God that will keep you turning these pages. This is truly a fine example of the once popular and now resurging genre of coffee table books. For despite the title, though not the subtitle, today's book is focused solely on the Christian churches of Europe. But that tight focus on one type of religious house of worship does allow us to explore the diversity of Christianity on the European continent, north, south, east, west, Sweden through Spain, the British Isles to the city of Kiev in Ukraine. Here we can marvel at art and architecture from the medieval ages forward. There's Gothic, Romanesque, modern, as well as a sampling of Baroque, Beaux-Arts, and even late 20th century cathedrals found in France, Spain, and Switzerland. They're all sampled and delved into within these many color-drenched pages. Clearly, the zeal to build, to rebuild, and to reclaim Christian houses of worship is alive and well in Europe. We launch first, and this won't surprise you, into Vatican City's St. Peter's Basilica. That's our opening. And what an opening St. Peter's proves to be, reputedly built on the place where St. Peter died, was martyred. The current St. Peter's is a late Renaissance production of many, many, many years in construction. A lot of popes and architects and artists and some really gorgeous church photography. After exploring more churches in the Italian peninsula, we enter the long history of Catholicism in France, where we encounter the sweep of religious building that befits the nation's deep Christian roots, from the ancient Abbey of Les Thorniers, a place of quiet worship from the medieval ages, that a late 20th century architect called, quote, a place of beauty, simple, defensive, and prayerful, and one of the few pastoral examples of religious houses we will encounter. Almost all the others are to be found in large cities, or at least reasonably large towns. Indeed, on we travel to visit the architectural and artistic wonders of Notre Dame Cathedral in the heart of Paris. We go to Chartres, and proving we are indeed in France, a most 20th century modern cathedral as well, where a convent designed by one of the 20th century's greatest architects stands today as a bleak, brutalist expression of religious art far removed in time, if not in starkness, from its 11th century companion that opens our exploration of French churches. I mentioned earlier that today's book focuses on Christian cathedrals, but arriving in Spain, it ought not surprise us that the Christian church meets with the Islamic mosque. The Cathedral Mosque of Cordoba is a shining example of this cultural, religious, historical encounter, and it is in Spain, too, that we meet with another master of modern church architecture, the still evolving Gaudi-designed Cathedral of Seville, begun in the 1880s by the famed Catalan architect, and we are told still a work in progress today. The impact of World War II is felt in the cathedrals of Central and Northwestern Europe as we tour the nations of Germany, Great Britain, Scandinavia. It is here, too, that we first come upon the great Protestant and not Roman Catholic cathedrals of our book. We travel to Ulm, to Augsburg, and to others. And we come upon the surprising vitality of Lutheran wood-framed cathedrals built in, of all places, Catholic Poland. These cathedrals are now nearing some 500 years of age, and there is quite a backstory there. The Orthodox Catholics of the Moldavian region, of St. Sophia in Kiev, and we mentioned those wooden cathedrals in Poland, the wooden cathedrals, the wooden churches of Norway come into view as well. Now, our author's text may focus on the beauty and the history of these historic structures of faith, but the faith is never forgotten. For as our author expresses in each cathedral, each church he visits, a respect and a desire to further understand the reasons the communities and the secular leaders who built these expressions of faith committed so much of their time, their sweat, their funds to creating these edifices. For as he points out again and again, many, not all, but many, many of these grand cathedrals, many of these churches took many, many years, sometimes over 100 years to come to completion. Surely, our author is not blind to the greed, the political greed in particular, and the statements these buildings represent. He shares that with us in his introduction and through each chapter as well. But, as I said, there is so much more here too, more of the religious, of the faithful's yearning to experience the wonder of their God in their lives. I want to finish with the author's own words, as he's telling us a little bit more about this book, about the wonders to be found within its pages, both in the text and, of course, especially in the photographs. He writes, "The church, like history, is not reducible to the splendid stained glass windows of a cathedral in France, the incredible altarpieces made of gilded wood in Portugal, or the wild technical feats of the vault at King's College Chapel in England. Our modern viewpoint, influenced by atheism and materialism, too often overlooks the astonishing collective and social adventures that inspired these magnificent places. Construction on cathedrals often lasted for centuries. Successive generations were moved to fulfill a duty, to do everything possible, including financing the project and incurring debt, to allow the new sanctuary to be built for the glory of God. Can we even imagine the existence of an enormous and dangerous worksite in the heart of a city for 200-300 years? Can we imagine vaults, walls, and spires collapsing, or the frequent fires that necessitated starting over from scratch a century later? It's a good question, and I'm not sure that we can answer in the affirmative at this particular time in history, but we can certainly travel through time, through religious faith, and through the experience of these incredible photographs of this wonderful text, of this marvelous book. Sacred Spaces, the awe-inspiring architecture of churches and cathedrals, I might add, in Europe. It's a fantastic book to absorb, both through the photographs and through the text. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.